Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, October the 1st, 2019. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to show us the events that are taking place around us and their significance according to your prophecies. We ask that you would continue to give us the strength that is so necessary so that we might walk according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm sure that you're aware of the challenges that are being brought against the Constitution of the United States today, ever since our new administration has been put in place. And today I'd like to share an article with you from the Forbes website. That's the Forbes website. The article was published on January the 9th, 2019. And the writer of the article is Kenneth Raposa. His last name is spelled R-A-P-O-Z-A. And here's the title: Democracies in Crisis. How the West Given Up. Has the West given up on democracy? Asks a question. The title again: Democracies in Crisis. Has the West given up on democracy? Here is the article. Demonstrators wearing their yellow vest brandish a French flag during a demonstration in Marseille, southern France, on Saturday, December the 29th, 2018. The Yellow Vest movement challenges France's political elite and policy orthodoxy. They were able to get President Emmanuel Macron to back down on tax hikes in diesel fuel related to climate change policy. This is a demonstration of what is happening in so many places today. For much of the last 2 years, we have heard that democracies are dying. Right-leaning political forces, most amplified by Brexit and Donald Trump's 2016 election victory and later similarly minded leaders in Austria and Italy, were supposed to be the death knell for old-school democratic societies in the West. But according to the Economist Intelligence Unit, democracy is alive and still kicking. One of the key signs that people have not given up on democracy is public protest. Whether it's the yellow vests in Paris or anti-Trump Women's March protests, participatory democracy is thriving. Increased engagement is encouraging for democracy, but it comes amid deep political polarization and the rise of strongman politics around the world. Bearing all this in mind, it seems too soon to say that the democracy recession has bottomed out. The Economic Intelligence Unit Democracy Index for 2018 measures the state of democracy worldwide. The takeaway has been that the deterioration of democracy has paused for the first time in 3 years after annual declines. However, the deep disillusionment which establishment politicians seem to think is on the move has slowly slowed. Just how bad things are remains to be seen. Is there still division? It's the Democrats. Don't blame me. Trump blames the Democrats on CNN. The Democrats blame Trump and Rush Limbaugh. At this point, the center cannot hold. And as a result, the U.S. has slipped on the EIU Democratic Index tremendously. The U.S. under Trump is now considered a flawed democracy, having been downgraded from a full democracy when he was elected. It's not that the EIU's methodology is run by a bunch of never-Trumpers. It puts the U.S. in the company of Western Europe's Latin, South, Spain, Portugal, France, and Italy. The U.S. is now ranked 25th worldwide, down from 21st in 2017 as a working democracy. The EIU says Trump attacks on the Department of Justice has also hurt the country's standings. It does not point out many of the partisan attacks against Trump that stemmed from the DOJ and the FBI, with numerous key staffers being forced to resign. The EIU did, however, blame the downfall of the rankings to the highly partisan nature of Washington politics, as parties are increasingly seen as being focused on blocking one another's agenda to the detriment of policymaking. But it's not all Trump's fault. The U.S. has fallen in the global ranks over the past decade, from the 18th place when Barack Obama was elected president in 2008 to around 20th by the time he left. At the rate of which the two parties get along in Washington, the U.S. will likely fall into the 30th if Trump makes it past 2020. Even if he had not been reelected, the trend is not your friend. Peter Strzok, an agent of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, was fired after his staunch anti-Trump bias was revealed. He was part of the investigation into Trump's so-called collusion with the Russian government to win the 2016 presidential election. People like Strzok also hurt America's support for fair government institutions. Public frustration with institutions has been brewing for years. Gallup polls from January to mid-November 2018 showed the number of Americans who approve of the way that Congress is handling its job had fallen to an average of 18% last year, down from 40% in 2000 during the Bill Clinton era. In Italy, plummeting confidence in traditional politics produced a resounding victory in the parliamentary election in March of the anti-establishment five-star movement and the Eurosceptic anti-migrant Liga. While both parties were helped into power by the mainstream view that open borders has been a failure for Italy, the two parties are mainly going against the austerity policies forced on them by unelected bureaucrats and in the Brussels. Russia is considered an authoritarian state. Putin has them ranked 114th on par with Kazakhstan, a former member of the USSR. Russia is ranked below Ukraine, sitting low in 84th place. Nearby Turkey scored decline further in 2018 as the country consolidated amid weakening checks on the presidency. A presidential election in June, won by the incumbent Recep Erdogan, was held under a state of emergency and appeared most freely but largely on fear. Russia saw a sharp decline in its score as well. Weak civil liberties have caused Russia to slip substantially in the rankings to 114th place. The good news is that big picture democracy is not dead. The bad news is that it is totally stagnated. Nordic countries take the lead once again, with oil-rich Norway on top and North Korea on the bottom. Costa Rica was the only country to join the ranks of full democracies in 2018 and to break into the top 20, rising three places from 23rd to 20th. Despite political upheavals, Western Europe continues to feature heavily among the index of full democracies, while Eastern Europe, the Middle East, and Africa are at the bottom of the pile. So the article is making the point that democracy, to all intents and purposes, is fading, not just in America, but fading worldwide. There's another article found in the Independent website, published February the 5th, 2019. The writer of that article is Adam Forrest. His last name is spelled F-O-R-R-E-S-T. And the title of the article is "Democracy Undergoing Alarming Decline Around the World, Study Finds." The title again: "Democracy Undergoing Alarming Decline Among the World." Here's that article. Democracy is undergoing an alarming decline across the world as a growing number of countries move towards authoritarian rule, according to the Freedom House think tank. The U.S. Organizational Annual Freedom in the World report found 2018 was the 13th consecutive year of deteriorating freedoms around the world. A total of 68 countries suffered a decline in political rights and civil liberties during the past 12 months, with only 50 countries registering any progress in these areas, the report said. More authoritarian powers are now banning opposition groups or jailing their leaders, dispensing with term limits and tightening the screws on any independent media that remain, the report said. Experts also identify a troubling crisis of confidence in the U.S. and Europe, where far-right populist forces are pushing against the long-held democratic principles like the separation of powers, press freedom, and the legal protection of migrants. Hungary fell from free to partly free in the past year. The report said Prime Minister Viktor Orbán has presided over the most dramatic decline in civil liberties ever charted by the organization inside the European Union. Serbia also dropped to partly free status because of election irregularities, and President Vučić accumulated his extra-constitutional powers. The organization also offered a damning assessment of the health of U.S. democracy, noting Donald Trump's attacks on the rule of law and fact-based journalism. The report found his government had improperly restricted the rights of asylum seekers, and immigration policies had become excessively harsh or haphazard. The greatest danger comes from the fact that American democracy is not infinitely durable, especially if a president shows little respect for its tenets. Anti-democratic rhetoric and the rejection of democratic constraints on power can be the first steps towards real restriction on freedom. Challenges to democracy in the United States have outsized efforts beyond American borders. Other nations watch what is happening in the United States and take cues from its leaders' behavior. The ongoing deterioration of American democracy will accelerate the decline of democracy around the world. Russian President Vladimir Putin and Turkish Prime Minister Erdogan were re-elected by further terms last year, while the National People's Congress in China rubber-stamped an amendment abolishing a two-term limit on the presidency, allowing Xi Jinping indefinite rule. In Central America, meanwhile, Nicaragua dropped to not free following a crackdown on anti-government protests. Venezuela was deemed to have held a profoundly flawed election. And in Brazil, the newly elected Bolsonaro expressed his nostalgia for military dictatorship. A growing number of governments have reached beyond their own borders to target expatriates. Freedom House found that 24 countries around the world, including Russia, China, Turkey, Iran, and Saudi Arabia, have targeted political dissidents abroad with practices such as extradition requests, kidnapping, and assassination in the past year. Ethnic cleansing is another growing trend, with an increase in regimes making concerted efforts to alter the ethnic composition of their territory, and attacks on freedoms of expression have been aided by new tools in internet censorship and surveillance. The present crisis has not arrived out of the blue. Freedom House researchers concluded liberal democracies have been in retreat for over a decade. Since 2006, a total of 116 countries have seen a decline in democratic freedoms, while only 63 countries have experienced growth. If the balance continues to tip toward dictatorship, the free societies that remain could find themselves isolated in a more dangerous and chaotic world. A growing number of political scientists believe they have identified a strange kind of thought among voters that go beyond traditional ideas of left and right. A strain that cuts across class, education, income, and religiosity, even across different political cultures. They believe understanding the concept of authoritarianism and the authoritarian mindset of many voters best explains the current crisis in liberal democracy. Academics today have made a convincing case that a sizable proportion of voters have a fundamental fear of diversity and complexity, and a strong desire for order and unity in their society. These citizens look at the world in a black and white way, holding a stronger than average need to distinguish between their society's in-group and various out-groups, and they are willing to disrupt established democratic norms if they feel the uniformity and hierarchy in their society is under threat. Few people formally identify with authoritarianism. It is not a phrase that shows up on placards. So when trying to identify voters with a predisposition towards it, political scientists don't ask them directly about their political views. Instead, for example, questions are posed about attitudes to family and child rearing. People who say it's more important for a child to respect their elders, be obedient, be well-behaved, and have good manners, reveal the basic traits of the authoritarian personality. Mr. Stenner, whose 2005 book, The Authoritarian Dynamic, has become one of the key texts in the field, believes the authoritarian mindset is deep-rooted in all societies, even if Western nations have chosen to ignore it in recent decades. Analysts consider that Mr. Stenner and his social psychologist Jonathan Haidt, on a massive 2016 survey, found that about a third of white responders proved to be authoritarian to some degree. In total, therefore, 33% of respondents were found to be authoritarian, 37% were found to be non-authoritarian, and 29% were deemed somewhere in between. The evidence shows that about a third of the population across liberal democracies is predisposed to authoritarianism. Basically, they favor what I call oneness and sameness over freedom and diversity. Importantly, authoritarianism is a latent individual tendency. It doesn't necessarily always produce racial intolerance, moral intolerance, political intolerance, unless under certain conditions of perceived threat, especially when losing a sense of shared identity and beliefs, or losing confidence in leaders and institutions. We seem to have reached the edge of what those with their disposition are willing to be able to put up with in a liberal democracy, whether due to the immigration crisis, globalization, the perceived loss of national identity. I don't want to lose who we are, people say. I don't want to lose our way of life. Authoritarians are not interested in right-wing economic ideas about the free market. Neither do they possess the classic conservative love of the status quo. In fact, as Brexit shows, authoritarian voters are willing to radically overturn the status quo in a bid to reassert a more uniform social order. Authoritarian Britons were found to be much more likely than non-authoritarian Britons to vote to leave the EU, according to analysts of the 2016 survey. In the US, the child-rearing question used to identify authoritarian citizens also proved the best predictor of support for Mr. Trump in the 2016 election. Mr. Heatherton and Mr. Wheeler showed in their book, Authoritarianism and Polarization in American Politics, that the mindset may not be confined to any one political party, but it has become more intense among Republican voters in the U.S. in recent years. They suggest the speed of change in the media landscape, aided by the bewildering impact of social media, has only fed authoritarian willingness to block out different views and listen only to the strong man's promise of order. A lot of them are nice folks. They just have this disposition to authoritarianism. There were actually relatively few I didn't like. They're just not very good with complexity. Confusion can make them feel less in control and therefore more threatened. And that is a dangerous thing. Now you notice what is happening here in this particular article. They're making the point that authoritarianism is coming into the entire world, nation by nation. But the amazing point that is being made by the author here is that the authoritarianism begins in the heart of the population. Those people who want to keep things as they are, who want to maintain their dominance in the society. They don't want to be able to share with others. They prefer to have what they want maintained throughout their entire lives and in the lives of their children. The concept of authoritarianism and the concept of the United States and the rest of the world moving away from democracy is a serious indication of the fulfillment of prophecy. Ultimately, we are going to find ourselves being told what to do and how to do it and when to do it. And those who refuse to obey will be ostracized and put aside. God has warned his children of this time to come. And he has told us in advance that we must be rooted and grounded in truth so that we might be willing to walk in truth and be obedient to his will. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to warn, that you continue to rebuke, that you continue to encourage. And today we ask, Lord, that you would accept our sorrow for sin and our repentance. And we ask, Lord, that you would continue to guide us in the path of righteousness so that we might walk according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, October the 1st, 2019.